Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, my. I'm on now. Oh, good, good. yes. The non-disclaimer. The following is suitable for all audience, so please tell your friends, tell your family, tell your loved ones, your hater ones, tell your neighbors, tell even strangers, even that weird one down at the playground who's a little too close to the kids. Tell your enemies. This is suitable for everybody. Please. Everybody should hear this. This is for general audiences. This message needs to be heard. Good people, you're listening to DJ Butterfly Feces on his show, Cocooning from the Microphone. It's 9 o'clock on the dot. And, well, a little bit about that title. I know it seems like an odd one, but when you hear, but if you've been following, look, you know what we're all about here. You know what we're trying to do here exactly. There's a real message here, and believe me, it all makes sense. Oh, sorry about that background, son, but I'm not exactly in what you'd call a professional soundproof booth. Anywho, please, check out the one and only Maya Harrison also. Check out her exclusive 2001-2010 Decades Best. That's an actual album. Now, let's continue our story, shall we? Now, you better not just be tuning in. You better not just be hearing. All right, if you are, let me just... I'm not going to start entirely from the beginning. Let me give you the rough summary. But I don't want to make this a habit, you know. So please, just as we're trying to go all over, everywhere we go to personally get people involved with the cause, help the vagabonds, get them involved in the cause, get them to help each other, to listen, to unite, to basically just be connected to the human race. Just as we're doing that, I want you to do the same. Get involved with this cause exactly. My name is DJ Butterfly Feces, and once upon a time, I lived in McKinleyville, California, most of my life, in what I thought was the greatest place there is, despite the rest of this world that I've seen. I was barely scraping by until I got kicked out of the house. Well, not just kicked. I mean, I wanted to leave. I was not happy there. There were no opportunities left, nothing. It's such a grand place nobody wanted to leave, and if they left, it's because they had to, because employment and residency were hard to find. Now, people were droving, going where the work was. They had to go someplace, start over just to survive. I ain't kidding. Leave your friends and family behind. Anywho, I wasn't quite sure what I was going to do at that point. I became a vagrant. I took one last walk in the woods in our hometown of McKinleyville, California, came across this big guy, 7 feet tall, probably 8 feet wide, huge guy, called himself Organic OK. He wouldn't give his real name, wasn't sure if that's because he really wanted to embrace this new life and trying to get rid of what he considered a slave name, or, and this is a possibility, maybe he didn't want anybody to really know who he was, maybe that was a code name, whatever. I was suspicious. A lot of us homeless, a lot of vagrants, we sat by the fire and talked. Now, I knew virtually everyone who was still in town, and I recognized these guys as the regular veteran vagrants. They were long-time tenure homeless people. I didn't know this guy. He said he actually had money. He wasn't really homeless. He was just passing through. He was helping people out, getting behind with his cause thing. And he asked me to join him. And his name... Organic, okay. He basically told me to get down, and he knighted me. He put me down on one knee like I was proposing, or I was a little nervous when he asked me to get down on my knees in front of him. And he basically told me my new name was DJ Butterfly Feces. Didn't really like that name, but he explained to me it works like this. Everyone knows all about the butterfly, the caterpillar that goes into that little workshop to cocoon to emerge a butterfly, and how it needs to do that, and how it's important for survival. Everybody knows all that. Everybody. But here's the thing. Like all living organism, whatever, it leaves behind waste. It craps. And it's a terrible thing that we have to crap. Wouldn't it be wonderful if nobody had to do that? It was unnecessary if it just didn't exist, but apparently that organic matter helps to create life on this planet. And that's what I was supposed to be, from this organic matter. Now, I didn't like the name. It sounded like I tried to give myself a handle, like D-Day or Atom Bomb. And he smacked me. They all basically hit me like, boy, you can't give yourself a nickname. You kind of people give themselves nicknames, kind of people that have no friends, all right? Somebody else has to give it to you. Nah, dude, kids in the phone, whenever they give you names, it's always some cheap insult thing based on some embarrassing little thing, some embarrassing little problem you have, some embarrassing thing you did, or, you know, where they give you a handle. But he said, your name is DJ Butterfly Feces. He told me to follow on his mission to tell all the rest of the homeless and help them and unhandicap them, make them handicapable in one way. Now, you need to understand something. This whole thing, it sounded crazy. I guess big ideas do it first. Nobody likes a new radical idea at first, you know? And you know how it is, dude. No, I mean, let me be honest. No one listens to the prophet's message at first. It takes a while for that to catch on, you know? But I was looking at this guy and think, I guess he wanted a name that would really stand out, and I guess all the good ones were taken, you know? They really were, weren't they? But come on, who the you know what is ever going to take seriously a guy with a name that means bug droppings? Even DJ Bug Drop, he had that DJ part because I told him I used to be on Blog Talk Radio. I didn't just spin discs, man. I did not just spin discs. I actually was a soapbox guy. I was an editorialist, a blogger. I got behind the radio microphone, and I rocked the mic. Honestly. But really, truly, tell me, who's going to take seriously a guy with a moniker Butterfly Feces? Who's going to basically listen to somebody like that? I humored him, and I sat by the campfire, and I basically had some of the food they had. They all threw it together in a big gumbo. That was what you call hobo stew. Oh, no, wait, you know, this is the messed up part. After political correctness, with PC fascism, the Ebola virus, the new form of fascism, now it's called community stew. Community stew. Whatever. They shared it with me. They fed me, did something for me. You know what? I was a man without prospects. Was I in a position to say, you know, I feel like they were setting me up. I really did, but I said, you know what? So be it. And Organic OK told me about his mission, going around enlightening, illuminating the collective conscience, and trying to make sure the homeless were living better, saving them, starting with them. And you know what? It was time for big things. Too many people doing little things that don't matter and wasting away to nothing. I agreed. Spent the night in their tent. Before I knew it, we headed basically wherever the road was supposed to take us. He said, no, don't worry. I'll let you know when we get there. It's a surprise. He wouldn't tell me where we're going. I know I'm supposed to get in a car with a stranger. No matter what age you are. But was I literally in some kind of position to say no to anything? Not just food, not just some degree of shelter, but even company? Anywho, we basically got honestly on the open road, and then he basically set me up. He had a beat up Winnebago, an RV of his own that had all this decorative stuff kind of welded to it in a kitschy kind of way, you know, a tacky garish kind of whatever, all these ornaments on it. And honestly, I sat there with him, and some of the others got in their cars, and we drove. And according to them, he was financing all this, the gas, the food. Whatever. We were out there on that open road. We didn't stop for nothing. Where are we going to go? Our first stop was Miami Beach. Well, Miami, Florida, actually. We hit Miami Beach. And then as soon as I was done trying to spread the message to everybody else and convince them to pick up, you know, to not just give a hoot and don't pollute, but actually fix what had happened and get going to shelter and make sure everybody was kind of all united together and whatnot at Miami Beach. I went to everywhere else and did the same thing, spreading the message like crazy. Quicker than any virus and illness, that this is something that needs to be contagious. The message. That's a fever everybody needs to catch, you know? I told you, a message about all of us working together in communes, and all of us can live better. We can all be better and connected in some way. We got to stop cutting each other down. It needs to end, you know? It needed to end a long time ago. And let me tell you something. I loved it in Miami. They didn't, a lot of people did there, and so much they didn't take kindly to basically us vagabonds. In fact, they made it very clear that we weren't supposed to get too comfortable. They wanted to make sure we didn't get too comfortable, too much of anything really. Get off the street, get another place, and get another job and get back to work. I need to do something. Something. I didn't know. No, but just as I was basically going to the shelters, telling everybody the message, telling everybody I could, and get a lot of nods and reactions, I wondered, what were they going to do? A lot of them told me, we don't have time to help. We're trying to stay off the street ourselves. And I know you basically, in a way, want you to give it all away, but some of us can't afford to be generous. The high wire act, we're all walking the line and we slip and fall. We're on that street forever. But I was enjoying it there. I was enjoying being a beach bum. I was enjoying being part of Miami, Florida, whatever. And just as I was, just as I could be, just I was starting to get some roots there. Okay, said, it's time to go. I said, we're not done helping these people. He said, no. We helped them. We got the ball rolling. We did a lot of good here. Now we're going to be moving on. And we moved on to Seattle. Washington, that was our next stop. Picture this, from McKinleyville all the way to the other side of the country, Miami, Florida, all the way again to the other side of the country, again, Seattle, Washington, which is dangerously close to Canada, which is known for snowing all the time. And it was there, I mean, it was Seattle, Washington in January. I ain't kidding. I know, once again, I'm recapping everything, but still, you know, I got to get tonight's show underway. Long story short, it was a lot harder to convince people because it was colder there, it was more freezing, there were more deaths, and there were more people. I kept wondering, why didn't they just move south for the winter like a bird? They kept trying to tell me, this is our home. I try to get more homeless shelters going because you know what? It's a lot harder to be homeless in a place like Seattle. It was January. It was snowing. It was snowing. So guess what? Be snowing where it's homeless. Ugh, believe me, this time when OK told me we're leaving now, he didn't have to coax me much. I was like, oh, good. I ran into the car. Our next stop, once again, I was expecting, OK, so what? Now we're going to drive all the way to Maine this time? Oh, man. You'll see. Get this, we started driving, and I was grateful because we were going, it was getting warmer and warmer. We were going further south, though, where we're going, it's plenty hot, you know. Oh, good, good. Dude, I'd go straight to hell right about now if the weather's warm. And you know what? Anywho, there it was. We wound up in, okay, Arizona, Scottsdale. Oh, man. Now, here's the thing. Now, being from out of the area, if you don't actually live there, you don't realize how beautiful and glorious it really is there. But you know what? There it was. It was ideal. Big, rugged landscape. You understand why people who basically lived the cowboy life didn't exactly want to give it up. Now, that was basically, that was the cowboy life. I'm not kidding. Those rugged backdrops, the beautiful hot sand, so the big hot sand, the rugged terrain, it was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. It was more than beautiful. Oh, I wanted to stay again. But this time, okay, said, dude, come on. We got to go. BCs, come on. It's 15 minutes after the hour, 9:15 here on Cocoon and the Microphone. You listen to DJ Butterfly Feces here. Listen, I want you to listen in, not just because I'm trying to get noticed like everybody else, but at the same time, I want you to get involved with the cause exactly. You know what? What do you think? Give me your 2 cents. You know what? Give me a whole quarter. Drop your everything on here. Get involved with the cause. Call us here. You can be on the air. 515-605-9709. That's 515-605-9709. Anywho, once again, we were out of there. I wish we just stayed there just a little longer. Where are we going next? I was afraid it was going to take us to Antarctica. Can you imagine being homeless there? Do they even have survivors? Thanks to global warming, you know what? I think the South Pole is pretty much thawed out, but next, where are we headed? The West Indies. Now, the West Indies. Now, this rural place we were headed was once again a beautiful tropical beach. It was basically, in a way, it looked like we were headed, honestly, towards good old fashioned, you know, Miami, Florida again. But no, you see, this time, we had to basically stop at some place and get on a boat. We almost took a plane, but okay, it was like, no, man, I don't like air travel. I know after what happened memorably, nobody likes air travel. I mean, people don't really like air travel. You know, you gotta. Sometimes it's the only way you can get somewhere where you need to go, but I hate air travel. I hate it. If we could, I'd gladly drive there. Mother's an ocean standing in our way, so of course we got on the boat. Anywho, what happened was we wound up in the West Indies, in the beautiful Isle of, how do I pronounce this, Antigua. I think it's something like that. Dang. Anywho, the point is, when we went there, it was gorgeous. Luxurious. Once again, I thought, I want to stay here. I'd gladly be homeless if it was here, being a beach bum lounging in this sort of beauty. All the homeless people should migrate to these places, whatever. He smacked me and said, that's a good idea, but we ain't done with it. Listen, once again, I'm going to start with the message. Hey, don't get me wrong. We enjoyed all the sights there was to be. There was a lot of rich people doing rich people's stuff, you know, on boats, yachting, whatever, playing polo and whatever, and that gave me an idea. I have an idea.
What?
Look, a lot of people basically don't have, like, residency and they need something else. I thought of an idea. Because you know what a houseboat is, don't you?
Yeah.
Houseboats. More houseboats out here. Houseboats for the homeless. No, I don't know. I know they'd be difficult to build. God forbid this. Yeah, they can sink, man. Houseboats can sink. Imagine what happens if your house sinks. What? Is it better to live on the streets? They don't need, like, that much stuff, whatever. A houseboat. And you know what? They don't have to be in a place literally where, you know, like, the water's really high. They don't have to be adrift like some dang pirate. They can be close to the shore or whatever. Well, they're probably gonna want money for that. Whatever. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. All right? Cool. We'll see it. So in the end, what happened was I went around telling everybody about the message, about what we're trying to do in all this. Got everybody. And I talked to a bunch of the natives. Some of them only spoke. Some of them didn't even speak English so much. I know, we weren't that far from America, but in a way, we were just on the offskirts. Now, they spoke English just primary, but some of them spoke, I think it was French exactly.
Creole,
they said.
Oh, Creole? Creole, right, Creole. Creole. I know what that is. That's cool. Creole. Yeah.
I told them about my plan. I told them about my mission. Some didn't understand until people translated it to them. But you know what? I got some people interested. They thought it all made sense. Sounds wonderful. Help us. Save us all. Save the world. I said to them, listen to me. build some houseboats. You know, you need like those guys up there, but they only go boating when they're trying to be all preppy to the world how rich they are. We can all live on boats. I want you to picture that for a moment. Picture it. A lot of, every single one of you could have a houseboat. So what did I do? Now, don't get me wrong. Once again, I wanted to enjoy the sights and sounds. Because, I mean, this town was paradise. But at the same time, you know, you still get this feeling. I remember thinking to myself, like, I need to help these people. They need a place to... Somewhere. What happened was, and I mean this, I happened to basically run into somebody. As I was spreading the message to people, one of them said, don't go. Sit down. Tell me your story. I told him mine. And look, I've told you mine every night on this show. So why don't you tell me yours? I lost my home when my mother got sick. I stayed behind to take care of her. They say basically some guys who will leave their parents home, they say, I'm taking care of my mother. Sometimes your mother's still taking care of you, but I was taking care of her. She was very ill. I could not leave. Could not get help. No money for medicine, nothing. Honestly, I've been on this street a while. I think I will die here. Some days I think when my mother was dying, I should have just left. She would have been happier. Would she be happy seeing me like this? I was with her at the end. I gave her comfort, but I could not save her. I could not save her. Yeah, man, look. I wish my parents got kind of sick. No, you don't mean. No, listen. Me and my family never got along. They were never supportive. I know in a way I wish I'd done a little bit more. I wish we'd done a little bit more with life since we let it slip through our fingers. You know, I didn't even lollygag as I used to. I was not happy. You know? And they kicked me out here. And the thing is, it was me or them. They had to go. If I didn't go, they might have wound up on the street themselves. You think they made the right decision? Yeah, they did. They saved themselves, and I'm happy to be here. It's beautiful here. It's wonderful here. And even though a lot of these people were homeless, you know what? They were still in paradise because everybody was sort of in paradise. But I told them my plan, giving basically the homeless people there in a place like the West Indies in boats, houseboats to live on. I remember walking by and I saw a couple people who were clearly homeless. They were already in their own lifeboats and boats, and they had a raft or something, whatever. But a boat that's a little bit more going on. Better boat. A more livable boat. Maybe we all got together and basically built some houseboats. How are we going to do that? I don't know. We all got to get together and campaign a little bit. Let's fight for it, you know? Do something. Don't you want to do nothing? I asked him personally what he believed in. He basically told me he loved the island. They had a rich culture there. Whatever. When they succeeded from slavery, he showed me the cannons, the model, because they still had, when enemies would come and they'd blow them away. He told me everything. And he told me literally that honestly, it got harder and harder and harder personally for basically homeless people in a way because people are getting, more people going homeless, and people who stay there don't necessarily want to leave. A lot of them had a problem, once again, trying to look. Because not only are there so few jobs out there personally, like, it's like in America where people are demanding more and more high-demand skill, whatever, and the really menial jobs being done to immigrants. No. See, in a way, that's sort of was the problem, really, went over here with West Indies, because this island, Antigua, I think that's how it's pronounced. And this is in the West Indies, by the way. Let's not mistake for that other one, you know. The same way people, the same way there's a London in England and a London in Canada. No. See, here, well, I got to tell you, people are coming over here and they want to stay. And they don't leave. And once again, there's only so many places for people to whatever. And I thought that more houseboats, you know, get more people in a spot wherever people can fish for a living. Live off the, if not live, not live off the land, live off the sea the way folks used to. That could work. There's a whole thing there going on. We could just get some. At one point, I remember walking by and seeing a busted up houseboat that clearly sunk. So you see, now listen, that can happen. Dude, look at that greenhouse effect. I mean, a lot of people are losing their homes. Homes are being destroyed, not just because they're going broke, but due to flooding and hurricane and whatnot. Bad things can happen, my brother. Bad things can happen. Bad things. But you know what? It's better, basically, that than just, well, just being here on the street. It's great to lounge by the beach. It's all beautiful and sandy, whatever, but you know what? Having something resembling residency. How to do it. I looked around and I thought, I came up with this novel idea. Maybe a lot of us go around and try to panhandle and whatever, and put maybe the resources together, whatever. Maybe build a boat. Not just build a boat. A lot of guys basically have a boat project. They're planning on sailing around the world. Then someday, never going to happen. I don't want it to be like that. Hey, this is a boat for here, and we need to make it work. How do we do that? And I suddenly realized, look, I'm not going to be here much longer. Oh, you're dying. No. Understand something. I'm traveling with that guy. We're going on a campaign telling the world to get together and get their you-know-what together. All of it, you know? All of us or none of us, all that jazz. Everyone needs to be connected. Helpful. All that whatever. But the thing is, I mean this, man, I sure have been hawing nervously too much. That's not, for lack of a better word, don't I? That's a bad thing in radio. Here it is. You guys need to get together, every single one of you, and find a way to get a little bit organized or whatever. Look. Build a few tents, whatever. You thought we were talking about houseboats. Yeah, houseboats too. Houseboats, tents. You all need to get together and find a way to shelter yourselves and each other. I mean, come on. In a place where people come over here for paradise and what, for whatever, it can happen. You think so? Yeah. Once again, I went around pushing the message. I pumped that message like crazy. And you know what? It was like pulling, you know what, really. One of the main reasons I think people don't want to help homeless people is that really, is the way they're saying this is nature. Nature is weeding out the weak, and there's just too many people. And you learn for survival, you learn to get yourself into a mindset where I need to only look out for myself. Because otherwise, I'll become one of them. I'll be next. They'll engulf me. They'll swamp me. I'm drowning. They'll pull me down with them. You walk around with that kind of mentality, don't you? It's 30 minutes after the 9 o'clock hour. You're listening to DJ Butterfly Feces here on his show, Cocooning the Microphone. Listen and get involved. Call in. We're at 515-605-9709. That's 515-605-9709. And also check out Maya Harrison. You know, she really has – check out her YouTube. I mean, you can find anything up there on YouTube. All her stuff, is anything you could possibly ask for, is up there right now. All her songs. I pumped that already. Oh, yeah, I heard she sells wine, too. It's got that Planet 9 logo. I don't know what that Planet 9 thing is. I think one of her songs, really. I should do some research on that. Planet 9. Planet 9. 9. All right. Anywho, getting back to his message, how literally to basically make sure all these people, things were so nice and beautiful here, people didn't stop to think about the homeless. Why? How could they care about them? Why would they? They may be homeless, but they're homeless in paradise. The West Indies, it's so gorgeous there. Surely it's better being a pauper there than living in a studio apartment in Los Angeles. You know, that's going to come in handy later, more on that. Tune in for that one. But for right now, houseboats. How to basically give these people enough. Then somebody grabbed me aside, buddy. Houseboats are for places with a dock, you know, like a bay. This is like the ocean. Having a houseboat out here, I mean, there needs to be a dock nearby, you know? More like near a bay or something. True. But, no. There should be, like, right here, nearby, like that. Not the beach, but all around. Once again, I was going around asking like a schmuck with my hat, man. And one thing, I got a hold of some of the natives. You know what I did? I asked them literally to sit down and have really some kind of words with our Creole members who are now especially disenfranchised. I asked them to. You know what he said? All right, cool. He told them his plan. He told them what he was trying to do. He said, you got money? Yeah, well, see, you don't have that problem then. I'm trying to help all of you. Thank you. Can we get some money? I'm a man. I'm going to help you. I'm not just trying to give you a handout. Don't just ask for spare change, dude, with a cup. Don't. I'm trying to get you all to help yourselves and each other. How? Can you, like, get everybody together and whatnot? Okay, Sid. The real man shook his head. Listen, we know a lot of each other. We try to be friendly. We're not all friends. We're not all connected, okay? Brother, not all African-Americans and all brothers know and sisters know each other. All those Creole people don't know each other. All those homeless people don't know each other, even if we live in the same town. Come on, you know a lot of them. Come on, yeah. Get your boys together. Let's do something. One of them said, what's your name? Organic just gave me a look. I explained, they call me DJ Butterfly Feces. And that guy gave me the same look you'd imagine he'd give. I didn't want to tell nobody that. Organic laughed. See, I told you. Man. Okay? Yeah.
I told you. No, see, I told you. See. Now, when they hear a name like that, it doesn't inspire confidence. You're one of those guys. Well, dude, you're one of those guys like Honest Tim's Used Cars, who, you know, he's got the name Honest in his name, like he's going to be trustworthy and all that. Well, no, I know, but come on, man. When they hear the name, like, dude, tell me, if I start calling you. The homeless prophet. You think that would help? Well, yeah, I mean, we'll listen to that more. There are plenty of homeless prophets out. They need a name that grabs people's attention. But when they hear the name that means bug crap, yeah, they don't. They're not believers anymore. They don't believe. You got people to believe. You got people to listen to you. You did. You see, you did that. I believe in you. I'm a fan. Well, I'm a fan of yours. Yeah, yeah. You got the voice. You got that magic dust, dude. You get people to listen. I know I was, but see, that's the reason I didn't always tell people the name he gave me. Because I know what he's saying about butterfly droppings is true. And strangely enough, it was like elementary school. I mean, I got a few people coming to me going, "Hey, roach crap. I mean, get over here. Come on." "Oh, yeah, yeah, this is insect droppings. Yeah, yeah." I stopped telling him I didn't tell him quite so much the moniker he gave me because how do I put this? I just didn't think with a moniker like that people would be taking me seriously. And they didn't. I know. It's his product. It's a name that'll push. You know what? That's my name on the air. So be it. It's a different medium. But when I was out there on the street, it wasn't so easy trying to get people to, you know. But at the moment, it's probably better than to know my real name, you know. You get a stage moniker, whatever. Anywho, I was in the West Indies. You know what? They point out I spent a lot of time with my shirt off, sunning myself, as a lot of us did. Really indulging myself. You know what? It's almost all like European. Like, they don't give you a lot of crap for going out there topless. And what? They don't give you a lot of heat for that, you know? Not as prudish as they are in the United States. They're not as desperate to try to cover everybody, bundle them up as hypothermia. I think we should be a bit more liberal when it comes to all that. You know what? All those people, too. You know what? Almost or not, get your shirt off a little bit and get some sun. While you're begging, you know. But don't just beg, dude. Help each other. Yes. Honestly, I got to tell you something. It was much nicer out here, and there weren't that many homeless people. Why? Well, I've been in the U.S. That's where things were bad. But somehow things were better somewhere else. Think about how much the rest of the world hates us. You really do, America. And then you suddenly realize something. In a way, I guess they always have, even when they envied us, but they all wanted to go over there and whatever. But you know what? You know what? It looks like the chickens are coming home to roost because things are really bad. I don't know what. Anywho, as I was still basically going around trying to, I knew homeless people, basically. They didn't have the resource, so I went to people. I went to random people, and I told them about the mission in life, what I was trying to do. At first, they basically thought I was just insane, and they thought I was looking for a dollar. I told them, no, listen, I need help. I want help. I think, please, find a way to make sure that these people can basically find, like, someplace to live, to find a cause. Where is this? Get them houseboats for these people. In the waters, houseboats, so they have a place to live. Once again, they didn't need a dock for all that. Maybe what they need, and beaches of the water up there is kind of shallow or whatever. They might not really have to, I mean, what if they don't fish enough, how they come into the port, whatever. Isn't it a crime to basically, like, come to the beach with your houseboat, like, whatever, to come into the main shore or whatever? Yeah, maybe they should be building some adobes and whatnot, you know, those big mud huts. No, we're still not enough a climate where the water would do some kind of damage to that. Man, this was difficult. Now, me personally, I was still basically thinking about, okay, now, how do I make sure these guys, okay. That'll be the mission. That'll be the dream. Houseboats. At least maybe trying to get these guys some tents or something, make sure they can basically stay by the bit and whatever. You know, and they seem to be a lot more okay with that than they were in America. That says more. That says something about us you didn't want to know. No, doesn't it? The more you see how things are in other places, the more you realize we in America need to make some changes. But more than that, more than anything else, forgive me. Yeah, I'm boring myself. I need to get up into this. All right. I realized that we needed to truly unite all these homeless people, all of them. I told all the vagrants in Antigua Antigua. I think that's how it's pronounced. Antigua. That sounds about right. Get involved. Get involved. Involved. How do you do that? Unite. Team up. It can happen. Actually, it's pretty simple. Try to get everybody, all of us, to come on and team up and say, let's work together. Well, let us, every single one of you, can all be part of some big thing. Who knows? You know what? You don't need a houseboat. Maybe after this is over, you guys can build your own pirate ship. Oh, but don't use it to actually be pirates or nothing. You out there want to laugh, but, you know, they still exist. Even I knew that. Anywho, as we're basically rounding people one by one, one to and fro, I basically, once again, built almost out of a chain. We all walk together. We were all united. United, united. We were all together. We all pretty much basically walked hand in hand. Sure, we're all together. We all work together personally. Whatever. Now, here's the funny thing. One of them basically pointed out how he had a keychain that basically had one of those, I mentioned this in the last show, a nail clipper. And I asked if we could all pretty much use it to some extent. He didn't want to share, but I convinced him at first to make sure he sees that thing again. Don't nobody steal it. Anywho, what happened was, get this, at some point, we all together and basically learned how to take care of each other. We were all basically on the beach looking out for one another. It's true, basically. Cutting our nails, see, that was the first step. By doing all this, I created a level of intimacy, of bonding. And I told everybody to tell their story to each other. We all sat around and heard each other's stories. We all told the story of how we wound up on the street, how some days are harder than most. Well, things weren't so hard here. It was paradise. I mean that. Anywho, we learned how to, basically just, like you said, Organic OK's plan, this scheme was taking effect. It was a little easier to convince people out here. But in a way, it was even harder to get the resources because life was so good out there. In a way, get this, I actually convinced basically these two guys basically find a way to get a job personally, whatever. Maybe... I said, okay, guys, picture this. You two get a job. That's where you guys get a job. You two get a job. And you can, like, share a place. Maybe you guys can board, roommate, whatever. Man, I don't know what I was saying. I was just throwing ideas and insight randomly, like rocks and whatever, because I didn't know what I was doing anymore. He wasn't lollygagging because it was too nice to be there, but everyone was telling me how they wound up here, and they're going to get another place, so help me God. Hope it's going to be here. And they hope to get this houseboat idea because that's what they want to do, live on sea, and none of them were looking forward to basically living anywhere else, even if it meant a job and an apartment just waiting for them. I don't know what I was going to do. I don't know what was going to happen. What was I to do? It's 45 minutes after the hour here on Cocoon in the Microphone with DJ Butterfly Feces. Once again, what do you think about all this? I know I sound like a shrink right now, but seriously, everyone's supposed to get involved. I'm at 515-605-9709. That's 515-605-9709. See, honestly, I was talking about how are we going to all find a place to live somehow.
What about your houseboat idea?
It sounds good enough, but, you know, I don't know. I mean, this place is like an island and whatever, and you guys barely have – I mean, thankfully you guys have cars and whatever, but, you know, everybody boats personally. What about – I want to get you guys all a tent. Maybe some kind of – maybe you guys get, like, a Winnebago or something like we're driving around in. Something. Because a car, they still demand that you have some kind of license if you're not going to drive. Even if it's your place to live, because dang it all. Man, things are bad all over, aren't they? Things are bad, bad. But not here. I realized once again I'd made a difference. What I do, I convince all these homeless people, all of us, to talk to each other and just share and work a little bit together. No, I told... Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to plug Maya Harris. Harrison, did you guys know personally that also... She's basically selling sweatpants, too, with the Planet 9, whatever. I actually got a pair just because... I don't know. After I heard so much of that music, I kind of gave a little bit of a fan, you know. Fan memorabilia. Oh, man, that's something, ain't it? Whatever. Because I got to tell you, the first thing I did when I got off the street was I put myself in nice new clothes. New clothes. New something. Clothes, a warm bed, not just any hard concrete raggedy mattress, but I got one of those ones with memory foam that just kind of conformed to your body. And I got one of those pillows you put between your legs, each on your side, so you fall asleep in just the right position. Oh, and the mattress vibrates, too, and whatever. God, what a time we're living in. I don't know what I was going to do. Basically, I knew that I brought these people together and said, help each other. Get involved with other, basically, homeless people and whatever. Of course, I realized it's a little harder when you live in the West Indies on this sort of isle because, I know Bermuda isn't very far from here. But let's be totally honest here. It is kind of a commute. A, it's a commute. And B, well, no. Because this aisle, they're not connected throughout the rest of the world. I know everyone is by internet and whatever, but it's like, I say, guys, here's a problem. You guys are so personally invested in this little island. They just came from the rest of the world. Find a way to get involved with other vagrant, homeless people, other people in general, whatever. Get the word out. Unite. One of them gave me a look. Man, you keep saying that, but how? I don't know. Do people still do smoke signals? That's Indians, man. Oh, Native Americans. I see your point. In the age of social media, sure there's a way for you guys to connect to people and somehow and somewhat in some way. It's got to be. You're talking a lot about being connected and all that, but what do you know? You're with them people. Those guys are driving you around, taking you around everywhere. You're with them. Somebody else is paying, isn't he? I mean, so what? He basically somewhat takes care of you, and your job is going everywhere like a messenger boy telling all the other homeless people, trying to get them all to be friends and buddies and work together and fight. Yeah. I'm also trying to help you guys live a little bit better. I'm trying to fight a campaign thing and whatnot. It's a real thing. You know? There's got to be a way around this. I know we've reached a bad impasse. And I feel so sorry for the people who basically became homeless vagabonds. You know what? The message came for them too late. They're still out there waiting for whatever. I don't know. I really don't know. There's got to be something out there, basically, it's going to help all you guys unite, connect, and whatever. Not what am I saying? I am, but how's it going to work in the West Indies? Stay together. Fight together. Try to get some shelter. Okay, stay together. Okay, guys. Try to stay together. Get unionized. Everybody here in Antigua, get everybody, get all of you guys line up, whatever, one big organized cluster. stay together, work in a commune or whatever. Work together as a team. No, it ain't going to happen so easy at first, but you guys might fight a lot, whatever, but keep something in mind. Even family, families, the kind who live in rich whatever, you know something? You know what?
What?
It's not so easy for them. It's not so easy. They fight tooth and nail also over whatever, what have you also. Don't give up. That's a message to all of you, you know? I know it's a little bit repetitious. This is the epitome of repetitious, but I was kind of going around and, you know, kind of sort of giving the same message to everybody, and I mean everyone. But there were different things. In Miami, Florida, I was trying to basically get people to make sure everybody had a tent or some kind of car or an RV or some kind of roof over their head. In Seattle, I was really trying to just make sure people got out of the cold more than anything. People basically got all that, but they were unified. But basically, in the West Indies, I was just trying to make sure that everybody was just, that the vagrants, the few they had, they were a little bit more connected. Wasn't nothing as bad as it is in America. Nothing. But here's the funny thing. I wanted to stay again. More than ever. Even more than we were in Arizona. The Scottsdale was nice. But this was nicer. Nicer. I don't know. And first thought, okay. I need to come up with a really unified plan. We're all telling these guys to help each other and whatever. What do we do? Okay. Maybe if we got a bunch of beat up junk cars and just left them out somewhere for a homeless person to try to live in, whatever. No, that ain't going to work. The city's going to tow them away. Because all they're thinking about is this car is sitting here. We're not making any money. They're so mad they're not getting money for it. People are casted. They're trying to punish them for saying, if we're not getting any money, if we can't get any money on you at the moment, we're going to punish you for being born. I don't know. Now, I know that basically, okay, it was coming to me with the message. And also talk about picking up garbage a little bit, like I did everywhere else. That was a big thing we were doing. People were hesitant about that because the garbage kept everybody else away and made sure that nobody was going to fight them and chase them off what they had as long as there's garbage on it, you know? Like rubbing, if you will, feces all over something to make sure nobody else touches it, you know? But you know what I said? I said, there wasn't much garbage, really, in the West Indies, in Antigua, as I believe it's called. Very nice place. There was still a little bit of a round. We picked it up and made the place a little cleaner. The Creole guy laughed, pat me on the back, and said, Brother, you think that's going to solve the global crisis? Because the biggest thing with the global crisis is not people dropping a single bottle or a piece of paper on the ground. It's all the poison being locked into the air, all the chemicals being dumped into the water. Garbage on the street is just annoying. It's a little tidy and it's not clean, but it's not really good. That ain't gonna hurt nobody. That hurt nobody. Yeah, I laughed. I couldn't stop laughing. Maybe picking up a little bit of garbage here and there wasn't helping about as much as OK likes to think. Still, don't get me wrong, I was going to do it. I had to. I know what there was to do exactly. I really don't. I'll tell you one thing. I like to believe that we made things a little bit better. We made paradise better. You know what? We helped the homeless. I spread the message. Okay, sis. Hey, look, don't get too cunt, okay? We got a lot more to do. No, don't worry. You did a nice job. You did a good job. I'm proud of you. We gave them a helping hand. We gave them the guide, a blueprint, whatever, to help. The rest is up to them. But let me tell you something. We ain't even got started yet. We got a lot more place to, you know. Yeah. I gotta tell you something. I said too much. Stupid speech impediment. Nervous, for lack of a better word. Okay. I want to stay in the West Indies a little while longer. I know I keep saying that, but it wasn't, and I realized I was being selfish when I thought, of course I want to stay because it's a pair. But it wasn't even just that. We went to those places, we helped them out a little bit, but how do we know it was permanent? How do we know it wasn't just going to fall down 5 minutes later? I sort of want to go back there and basically see. Now, did we really make a difference? Did we? I don't know. I suppose I should basically try checking out social media. And that's more reliable than any professional journalist, statistic, whatever, basically just seeing what people with a little internet camera phones are instantly uploading. But whatever it was, I know it was only going to work if we were all in this together. And it was such a long, hard road, and there's so much work ahead, and that's why most people didn't bother to do it at all. I don't know. As we basically started to walk back towards the boat, because he got a round-trip ticket, and our time was up. We spent several days there in those West Indies. I looked around and basically I thought, God, this place is so beautiful. But that's the thing. During our grandparents' generation, I know they thought our way was best. Back in their day, things were better. Every generation says that. But look at even the 90-year-old whatever we're embracing social internet and media. We're instantly uploading, texting, whatever to the whole world. The people who go on the radio and television just to say hello to each other. Don't even have cable access anymore. I guess that's sort of the thing. You know? No matter what, no matter how much no matter how well you're living, you should always know you could be living better. And you should try to do that. And there are, and even when basically things are all well and good for you, those around you, not everybody's living the same way. A lot of these people are in paradise, but is everyone there? Maybe the people that live in there weren't doing as well as they thought they were. Before I knew it, we were off the round-trip boat and basically back at that agency where basically we picked up the RV, got in the cars, and drove all the way. We were back on the road, back in America. It was almost a disappointment. I'm sorry. I know basically nowadays so many Americans are so unpatriotic, but we got a reason to be, you know? I mean, really, honestly. It was a real come down. Thank you for listening. You've been listening to Cocooning from the Microphone with DJ Butterfly Feces. He's here. And please tune into our next episode and see not only what happened next, but how hard it was to really mystically convince, get involved. Okay, check out Maya Harrison. Check out Maya Harrison. That girl is still going all over the world, almost as much as we are. Help the homeless. Get involved with the cause. Thanks all for listening. And good night.